We're going to learn Daf Lamed Ches in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from, maybe go back a little bit from what we did last time. We're going to start from the bottom line of Lamed Zayin and Mabez. The Gemara beforehand just sort of finished the topic of Kam Leibed Rav Aminei. Well, I shouldn't say finished because we're still continuing with it, but had gone through the proofs of where we learn Kam Leibed Rav Aminei. And then the Gemara said, but there are other psukim in the Torah which seem to give us the same concept as well. And each one of those psukim, why do we need the relevant psukim as they may be? The two last psukim that we're dealing with is the pasuk of Kol Cheirim, the pasuk that says, Kol Cheirim, but I'm trying to look for the words of the pasuk. But yeah, Kol Cheirim Asher Yecharam Min Ha'odom Lo Yipodeh. That the first pasuk says anybody who's condemned cannot be redeemed. And then we also have a pasuk that says, lo yisichu koifer. Right? That you're not supposed to take koifer lenefesh roitzeach. So the question then becomes, is because those two psukim seem to be teaching us the same idea, that you cannot redeem somebody for value if they are already chayev misa. So the Gemara wants to know, why do we need those two psukim? So with that, on that note, we're going to start from the bottom line now on Lama Zayin and Mabez. The Gemara says, Kol Cheirim Lamali, what do we need this pasuk for? Because we already know it from Lo Yisichu Kaifer. Amar Rama Bar Choma, Itzruch, we do need it. Tzal, Kedai Techamino, I might have thought, Hani Mili, Hechada Hargu Derech Aliyah. You might have thought that the pasuk that's saying you cannot take money is only talking about in a context where he would have killed even Bemezid, where he killed it in an upward motion. Why? Because there is the shiga. If you did that same act by accident, there would be no kapar. So let's back up for a second, just to understand what the Gemara is referring to, and then the words of the Gemara will be a lot easier to understand. In the context of shoygeg, we all know there's a concept of going to Arei. If somebody kills b'shoygeg, they go to the Arei Miklot. Now, based on a pasuk, because the pasuk says vayipol, so the Gemara darshins and the Gemara makis that it actually depends on what direction the murderer was moving, even if it was by accident, but what direction was he moving at the time that the act was committed. If he was moving in a downward act, in a downward motion, let's say the simplest example as the Gemara itself gives is, I was walking, going down my ladder, and as I'm going down, one of the rungs of the ladder is loose, and I trip, and I fall, and therefore I fall on top of the other person, and I kill him. Then you do go to Golos. However, if the same exact story happens, but I was going in an upward motion, I was climbing the ladder, and one of the rungs is loose, and I lose my balance and fall and kill the person. In that case, I do not go to Golos because the pasuk says Vayipol has to be down. It has to be in a downward motion, which means even in the context of shoygeg, the possibility of the punishment of going to Golos is only applicable in downward, not upward. Okay, now going to Golos is also considered an alternative for the ultimate misa, the ultimate punishment of death. So there's a difference between killing a person. Obviously, it's b'shoygeg, so he's not going to get. Bezdin's not going to kill him. But it is an alternative in that context of a murder. In this context, it's b'shoygeg, so it makes sense. But okay, now so that's what the Gemara says. Hani mi lehecha dehargu derech aliyah. We understand that you don't go to Gol. That you don't. There is no alternative punishments. Why? If he killed in an upward motion, shalei nitna shigagasa the kapara. Because even if he had done that exact act by accident without pre-contemplated, right? He wasn't thinking about it from beforehand, so that there would be no kapara b'shoygeg. So there is no alternative. So I get why the Torah is saying, don't even think about using money to buy off the punishment. Aval hargoy derech yirido, denidna shigugasa the kapara, but if he did that same act and he killed in a downward motion, and in that case there is an alternative option of going to Golos, the Torah itself creates this new option of going to Golos. So maybe in this context, that's where the Torah will also allow, once we're allowing for alternatives, so this is another alternative, will allow the guy to pay off money and be potter from getting the Chiyuv Misa. Kamash Malon, that's what the pasuk is called Cheirim, that even if the person was Chayiv Misa, he cannot pay money. You can never accept money and take that as an alternative to the punishment, the death sentence that the person is Chayiv if he killed B'mezid. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says is the havamina of why we need the extra pasuk on kol cheirim to teach us the difference between going upwards and going downwards. The problem is amalei rova. Sure. So very nice. Amalei rova, but the problem is that's very nice drasha. Ha mida tana de bechizkiya nafka. But we already know this. So remember, we're trying to figure out what we do with this extra pasuk. So that, in order for it to be, for the pasuk to become to tell us this, it means it has to be something that we didn't already know. But we already know this from a different drasha, from Tana Devei Chizkiya. The Tana Devei Chizkiya, the yeshiva of Chizkiya taught us, Maka Adam Maka Behema. So we saw this already. That we compare the damages when a person hits a person versus when a person hits an animal. Ma Maka Behema Loi Chalakta Boy, when a person hits an animal, they always have to pay. Ben Bishoyge, Ben Lemezid, Ben Miskavin, L'sheinim is kavim, whether it's on purpose or by accident, or intentional or non-intentional. Derech yirida l'derech aliyah. So now you see that by an animal, it doesn't matter whether your action is going up or down. L'poidre m'mamayin. We can never say that it's always to get you off from paying. El l'chayv m'mamayin. There is across the board, no exceptions. You're always chayv to pay. Afmaka odom, so too when it comes to a person, we're hitting a person, loy techalik boy, and there's misa involved, loy techalik boy, we're not going to make a distinction, ben shoygig lemezid, ben miskavim l'shein, miskavim intentional non-intentional, ben derech yirido lederech aliyah. That's exactly one of the things that we don't distinguish. So, l'chayv o'mamon, you can't say it's going to be chayv o'mamon, el l'poitre o'mamon. So it's coming to tell us that you're always going to be potter. So we don't need a pasuk, it's a drasha of maka odom and maka behemo. So we already know that it doesn't matter whether you're going up and down, you can never use money to buy off a punishment when you're dealing with a person. So therefore that cannot be what the pasuk of kol cheirim is coming to teach us. So the Gemara says a different pshat. Elo amar rami bar chomo itruch. We need the pasuk for the following. Salkadai Tachamina, I would have thought Hani Mili. Hecha desima es enoi vahargu ba. You would think that when do we say kam lebidurabamine? When the act itself does both things in the same act and at the same time, it does both things. Where you blinded the person and with that blinding caused the person's eventual death. Caused the death. That's where we say kam lebe derabba mine, and there's no alternatives. Aval hecha de sima es enoi v'hargo bedover acher. But let's say you blinded the person, which definitely has a monetary value, and you ended up, let's say, stabbing the guy in the heart, and you killed him with some other act at the same time. Rashi has in the words bevas achas. So ema nishko mamoina mine. Maybe in that case you could take money, because in that case the damages and the death are two different acts, even though they happened at the same time simultaneously, but they're two different acts. So maybe we would have a havamino that you would take money. That would be the pasuk of kol cheirim to say no, that if it happens at the same time, then you're also, you know, if since there is a death penalty involved over here, we do not take money from this person. Okay? So that's a very good drasha. Problem is, once again, Amalei Rava Hanami Meiduch Tana Devei Chizkiya Nafka. The Rava says it's a great drasha, and guess what? We already know this because the yeshiva of Chizkiya taught us this halacha as well. So it cannot be what the pasuk is teaching us. The Tana Devei Chizkiya, because Devei Chizkiya taught us Ayin Tachas Ayin. That the pasuk says that you pay an eye for an eye, and we know literally it doesn't mean an eye, it means money, but we darshan v'loy ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. But you don't end up paying two punishments. You don't take the guy's nefesh, the soul, the death, and also pay for the ayin. So we already have this halacha that even though the eye and the death are two separate things, if they happen at once, we don't take two punishments for the same time. So, therefore, once again, we already know this drasha that there's kam lebe derabamine, or rather, we know that you don't take money instead of the death penalty. So, Elam Ravashi Itzruch. So, Ravashi finally says, no, we do need this psukim. For what? That maybe the pasuk, since we're talking about over here, where there's sometimes there's a knas, where you have to pay You have to pay a knas even in the context of a death penalty. That you would think that since it's a knas and the Torah wants you to pay, so you should, even though the person's getting killed, you should pay anyway because it's knas. Kamash malon. That's what the pasuk is coming to tell us, that no, that when the person is chayav misa, you don't end up paying knas. Okay, very nice. That's what the drash is coming to tell us, that you don't pay knas in the context of the death penalty. But the problem is, but what about Rabbah, who actually learns just the opposite? Rabbah learns you taka do pay knas. That's the whole point, that Rabbah is being mekadesh. That when you get killed, since it's knas and the Torah made a point of saying you should pay the knas, even though the person is going to get killed, he still pays. So hi kocherim ayavilei. So now, what does he do with that pasuk of kocherim? Because obviously kocherim can't be teaching us that you don't pay the knas, because that's Rabbah's whole point. That you do pay knas. So Gemara answers, Savala Katana de Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya, Katana Kamo de Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya. So Anachanami, he will have to learn the pasuk of Kocherim, like the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Mabez, the first drasha that the Gemara made with the pasuk of Kocherim, which was that if somebody is going out to be killed, Bezdin already paskin that is chayiv misa, and on the way to carrying out the sentence, somebody says, Erka Yalai, I want to pay his value to place a mikdash. The halach is, Kocherim says, the guy has no value, and even though it's a set value in the Torah, we still say you do not have to pay. So according to Rabbah, the person Kocherim was never extra in the first place, because the person Kocherim was teaching us a completely different halacha that had nothing to do with this idea of Kam Levi the Rabbah. So according to Rabbah, Enachanami, according to the Maskana Sagamara, since it's a knas, you do have to pay the knas, even in the context of a death sentence. Whereas, according to everybody else, we use the pasuk of Kocherim to tell us that the chiddush is that even knas, that usually the Torah has an emphasis on paying, if there's a death sentence involved, there's no money involved, and therefore you don't have to pay the knas either. Okay, that takes us to the Mishnah. So, the next Mishnah says like this. Nairo shenis arsa v'nis garsha. What if you have a girl who's still under the age of 12 and a half, who already got engaged and divorced from the engagement, okay, kedushin. She had kedushin and she was already divorced from kedushin, she never got married. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer ein lo knas. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that's it, she's done, she doesn't get knas anymore. Rabbi Akiva Omer yesh lo knas. You still get knas, however, v'knoso la'atzma. And she gets to keep the knas. Okay, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. So everybody agrees that once she gets engaged, obviously not while she's engaged, as Rashi points out, because if she's still engaged, then there's a chiyuv misa involved, and we already know Kam Levi D'Rabbi Minah. So we're talking about after she's no longer engaged, and she's still under the age of 12 and a half. So everybody agrees that something changed. According to Rabbi Yossi, that he says that changes everything, and she gets nothing. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it just changes who the payee is. Instead of paying the father, as would typically be the case, in this case, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would pay her. Okay, but everybody agrees that something changed. Bar generally assumes that during Erisin nothing happens. That's the general assumption in the Gemara. And therefore she would still be a Vesula. Okay. So Zakta Gemara. My time at the Rabbi Yossi Aglila. So what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi Aglila that says that there's no more knas? Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Asher lo yoroso. I mean, those are the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I'm just going to read the first few words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki motze ish naira besula. The Pasuk says she has to be a naira besula, Asher loy oiroso, that was never engaged, v'tafsa v'shachav imo v'nimtzo'u. And he grabbed her and they were caught, and that's why he has to pay the knas. Okay, fine. So the Pasuk clearly says, Asher loy oiroso, that she was never engaged. So we darshan ha oiroso, if she gets engaged, she gets kedushin, ain't lo knas. So that's not what the Pasuk is talking about. There's no knas over there. The knas was dafka in the context that there was no, she never was engaged. Oh, so Rabbi Akiva. What is Rabbi Akiva? Asher lo yarasa. What does he do with the words Asher lo yarasa? Because he also says, the Pasuk says, that she was not engaged. He darshans like this. You're right. Asher lo yaroso lo aviyah. If she was never engaged, then that goes like the pasuk says. It goes to her father. But if she got engaged, la'atzma. So now it just changes the fact that it changes who gets paid. But it doesn't take her entirely out of the pasuk that she doesn't get knas anymore. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the way you're drashing Elamiata, if so, that the way we're darshaning over here is we're just changing who gets paid, so then also you could say the same thing, Naira v'loi bageris. The pasuk also says she has to be a Naira, so we'll change, fine, so when she's a bageris, Hachanami de la Atzmo. So over there also you're going to say that now she also gets to collect, she still gets a knas, but it goes to her. What about Besula v'loi b'ula? The pasuk says she had to be a Besula. So great, she's not a Besula anymore. So once again, Hachanami de la Atzmo, you want to change that just who the payee is, but it doesn't change, but it's still in the parsha of Knas. Elo Lagamri. Over there you admit that the pasuk is saying that there's only a context of Knas in this way. But there's no context, there's no Knas when it's, there's no context where it's, where you're not in the parsha anymore, where she's not a basula or she's not an Naira. So Achanami Lagamri. So over here also you should make the similar type of drasha, that she should be totally out of the parsha, and there should be no Knas at all. Amalach Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will say no. Hi, lawyer Rostami Boyle the Kuzitanya. So he says that's because you're right. Normally what the words of the pasuk are coming to say, it's all or nothing. But over here, the words Asher Lo Yarosa, anyway, we need it for a totally different drasha. And once we use it for a totally different drasha, we're going to darshan it in a different way. As we'll see in the Gemara Namah Beis. Pasuk says, the Braisa teaches like this. Asher Lo Yarosa, the fact that she was not engaged, Prat L'Naira Shenis Arsav V'Niskar Sho, She'ein Lo Knas. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglila. So that's Rabbi Yosi Aglila, that's our Mishnah. It says that she was never engaged. So we say if she was engaged, she now gets nothing. Okay, that's Rabbi Yosi Aglila's way of darshaning. But remember, we're focused right now on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Yesh Lo Knas, the Knaso Lo Avio. He says, not only does she still get knas, but the knas still goes to her father. And we're going to ask this contradiction later on Amud Beis. But now finally to the point that the Gemara is trying to make, which is the drasha. V'adin noisin, and it makes sense. The way we learn is like this. Hoyel v'avio zaka b'kesef kedusheha. Since we know, generally speaking, under the age of 12 and a half, if she gets married, the money goes to the father. The kedushin goes to the father. V'avio zaka b'kesef kenasa. And we also know for a fact that if there's ever a knas, that money goes to the father. So we see, in both cases, the money goes to the father. So we can darshan. Ma kesef kedusheha, afa b'ishin esarsim and eskashu l'avio. So now also, even if she was engaged, and now divorced from the engagement, she never got married. That's the important point. She never got married. She was only engaged. But the chiddush is that she got engaged and divorced, and now she wants to get married a second time. That money would go to the father. So af kesef kenasa af apishin esarsim and eskasha l'avia. So the same thing you're going to say also, that if she was engaged, but no longer engaged, divorced, and there's a knas scenario. After that happens, so anachanami should go to the father, because it should be exactly the same thing as kedushin. So finally, to the point, imkain matam adloimer asher lo yaroso. So then, why does the pasuk even add the words asher lo yaroso if it doesn't make a difference anyway? So the Gemara answers, mufna, those words are extra, lahakish loy velodun hemenu, to make a hekesh to it, and to also learn from it gezeira shava. In the context of a gezeira shava, which means that we're going to learn two parshiyos as if they're together. Nemar kan asher lo yaroso. This happens to be talking about shav of oinis. It says the words asher lo yaroso. V'nemar lahalon, and it also says in the parsha of mefata asher lo yaroso that also was never engaged. So we put the two parshiyos together. Ma kan nun, over here in this parsha it gives a number. It says 50 kesef. Af lahalon nun. So therefore, in the context of mefata, we also say it's 50. Ma lahalon shkolim, and in the parsha of mefata it says the word shkolim. Zav kan shkolim. So over here also in the context of oinis, we also say shkolim. So we put it together. Oinis is 50, and mefata is shkolim. So we say 50 shekel. We put the two things together, and that's all based on the fact that in both places it says the words asher lo yarosa, and that's what we use the words asher lo yarosa for. And therefore, it's not here to tell us that when she gets engaged and now she's divorced from that engagement, that it changes anything. According to the Bryce, anyway, according to the Bryce, it still goes to the it still goes to the father. Gemara is going to go back and try to understand Rabbi Akiva's drasha that we just made over here, Asher Lo Yarasa. We know, I get it. Asher Lo Yarasa is the pasuk that we're now using to compare Oinus Umefata. So the Gemara says, my chazis, the Asher Lo Yarasa, the Gezeirah Shavah. How did you know to use the words Asher Lo Yarasa? I get it, that the words Asher Lo Yarasa are, there is an overlap. Those words exist in both parshias. However, the word Basula also exists in both parshias. So, L'Gzeresha, U'Basula L'Mute Ba'ula. And therefore, the words, if you're not using the word Basula as your drasha, the word Basula is extra to tell us that if she's not a Basula, she's not in the parsha at all. So how did you know not to use the word Basula? And therefore, now on the top of L'Amechesim Abeis, Emo. So the Gemara says, very nice. Ema basula l'gzeirishav. I'll tell you just the opposite. The word basula appears in both parashiyos. I'll use the word basula to make the drasha. V'asher lo yarasa. And now the word asher lo yarasa is totally extra for my purposes. Prat l'nairish and esarsim diskarsha. And that would be the words, and that would be, we'd use it to say that once she gets engaged, she no longer gets knas. Or it doesn't go to the father anymore. But how do we know now? If right, let's learn the words Asher Lo Yarasa literally and say that that's the only case in the parsha, and the word Basula will be the one that we'll use for the drasha. So the Gemara answers: Mistava Asher Lo Yarasa L'Gzeira Shava. I'd rather use the words Asher Lo Yarasa. Why? Shahare Ani Kaira Ba Naira Basula. Because by Asher Lo Yarasa, she at least still remains the key words over here, which is she's still under 12, obviously, and she's still a basula because nothing happened to her. Okay, so because those are more important. So the Gemara says, one second, Adarabba, basula l'gzereshav. I could say that if that's your argument, I can make the same opposite argument. Basula l'gzereshav. I'll say the same thing. Basula is the word gzereshav. Harayani kairaba asher lo yarasa, and I'll use the words asher lo yarasa. She is not engaged. So, like, how did you know to emphasize one over the other? So finally, the Gemara answers, Misavra hani. Mistavra ha yishtani gufa v'ha lo yishtani gufa. The difference is like this, that in the context, when she loses her basulim, if she's no longer a basula, she becomes completely a different girl. Her body itself changes. She physically changes to be a different type of person. And therefore, and the Naira also, is a physical change. She's no longer 12 and a half. She's over 12 and a half. She becomes, you know, her, it's a physical change in her body. So I understand that the Torah will more likely exclude a girl who's a different type, a different physical type of girl than a girl who remains physically the same. It's just an outside factor, such as getting engaged, happened to her. If I have to exclude one of them, it makes much more sense to say, when I say exclude, when I mean to take her out of the parsha that the Torah was dafka, it makes more sense to say I dafka meant basula, because being not a basula is a totally different girl. Whereas Asher Lo Yarasa, being engaged, is not a totally different type of girl. It just changed her status. Just changed her status maybe in culture. But it didn't really change who she is. And therefore, it makes more sense to include that as a part of the parsha. So the Gemara says, you're right, I hear your Havamina, but in conclusion, we have to change, if we're gonna pick one, it makes more sense to only exclude, Asher Lo Yarasa doesn't change really that much, and therefore that's the one that's used for the comparison to, Oinus Umefata. Okay. This concept, by the way, that you pay 50 shekel, everybody agrees to. But it's only Rabbi Akiva that uses Asher Lo Yarasa as the Gzeir Shava. So the Gemara's following question is, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Haisvara Minale. How does he know that? Because everybody agrees that it's 50 shekel. So the Gemara answers, he nafkale midatanya. He learns it out of a different price. Because the Pasuk says, Kesef Yishkol Kimoyhar Ha Besulois. Well, you should take the money, this is part of the Pasuk, to the value of a Besula. So we darshan like this. Shiye ze Kimoyhar Ha Besulois. That the girl, the oinis, should be the value of the basula. The mafata should be the value of the basula. Umayar habasulois kize. It's both a drasha and the mayark, and the value should be like this. So basically, he's using also the word mayar. The fact that it says mayar habasulois, it's a value. And where else do we see a value? The only place we have to put whatever value the Torah gave to us and put that together. Which again is the same idea. It's the 50 50 in one parsha and the shekel in the other parsha. So we put 50 shekel together. Anachanami. So it's 50 shekel. Anachanami is 50 shekel. So that's where we get to, the drasha of 50 shekel. Okay, but again, everybody agrees. Now, finally, the Gemara is going to get to the point that we asked right away. Kasha de Rabbi Akiva de Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah says the money goes to her. Rabbi Akiva in the Brisa says the money continues to go to the father. So how do we, that's a contradiction. So the Gemara answers, Trei Tanoia v'Aliva de Rabbi Akiva. Okay, fine, very simple. It's a machlokes. In Rabbi Akiva itself, what did he say? So fine. But that's a very nice drasha. But how does the Mishnah work now? Bishlemi Rabbi Akiva de Masnisin, or rather, how does the Brisa work? I understand Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah that something changes. Why? Because I understand that you're using the words Asher Lo Yarosa for a drasha. However, Lo Yasya Gezeira Shava Umafkale Lekro Mi Pashte Legamri. Even if you're using the Gezeira Shava, you still have the simple reading of the words of the pasuk. The pasuk says Asher Lo Yarosa. So what happened to those words? You're going to ignore those words? Something had to change. She is now engaged, or was engaged. Elo Rabbi Akiva de Braisa. So I understand why in the Mishnah at least she gets it as opposed to the father, because something changed. Elo Rabbi Akiva de Braisa Asik Zeir Shava Mafkumi Pashte Legamri. But you're going to say that now that there's a Zeir Shava, so now we don't read the words for what the words themselves mean. That doesn't make any sense. What happened to the fact that the Torah said Asher Lo Yarosa? You're ignoring those words in the Torah. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Karibe Asher Lo Yarusa. So he's saying what it means is, Anachanami, we don't ignore the words. The words Ayrasa should be understood to mean that she is not currently engaged. But now she's not currently engaged. It's not that she is engaged. If she is not engaged at the moment, Anachanami, it's the regular parsha. So the Gemara, and that's the case we're coming to exclude. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Arusa baskilahi. We don't need a pasuk to tell us that when she is engaged, that she doesn't get knas. We know that already, because if she was engaged, the guy would be getting skila, and we already know, kam lebi derabamine. So we wouldn't need this pasuk to tell us that he doesn't pay knas. So, once again, what do we need these words in the pasuk for? So he says, no. That since this is a chiddush by knas that the Torah wants us to pay, you might think that you would have to pay because it's a knas, that even though you're getting killed, we don't apply kam lebi derabamine. That's the chiddush of the Torah, that no, while she's literally engaged, she does not pay even knas. However, but according to Rabba that says that we don't need this pasuk because we know this is a general rule that any time you have a knas, you do pay. In fact, even in this case, when there is miso, according to Rabba, you actually do pay the knas. So it couldn't be that that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude. So once again, according to Rabba, what do you use these? If you're saying it's only when she is engaged, we already know that you don't you pay the knas over there. It's not teaching us anything. Then our answer, Savalak Rabbi Akiva de Masnisan, and Achanami. So Rabba will have to learn, which is not a contradiction, because he is following it, even though Rabba's an Amori, he is following a Tano. He's following the Tano of our Mishnah that says that it does change something, that that the Knas goes to her. That it doesn't go to the father anymore, it goes to her. So Achanami, according to Rabba, that you're paying the Knas even though he gets death, that goes to her as opposed to going to him. So we do have a way to use Rabba. But Anachanami, according to everybody else, remember we said that everybody else argues on Rabba and says Rabba's a unique shita by Knas, but everybody else holds that we do apply Kam Lebi to Rabba Mine. The Pasuk would come to tell us that that even though it's Knas, and you would think that the Torah is looking for ways to make him pay, Kamash Malon, that he doesn't have to pay. Okay, so ultimately, again, if you remember, at least the minimum, remember, there is a machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah versus the Braisa. The Mishnah says that the money goes to her, and the Braisa Taka says the money goes to the father, and the only exception to the rule is while she's engaged itself. But after she's no longer engaged, she's divorced, and the money goes back to the father. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring up a new topic. First, we're not going to understand it, but Tana Rabbanon, the Gemara, we learned the Rabbanon taught us as follows. Knaso lemi, le'aviha. So it says, who receives the knas? Who do you pay to? The first pshat is you go to the father. The yeshaimrim la'atma. And there are those that say that the knas goes to her, herself. So the Gemara says, La'atzmo, amai. Why would you ever think that the knas goes to her? What are we talking about over here? What's the context that we're talking about that the knas goes to her? So the Gemara answer is very simple. Amar Rav Chisda, Hach Benayrish Nesarsav Neskarsha Askinon, Anachnami. We're talking about this case, our case, that she was engaged, she's no longer engaged, and then the Oinus Mafata happens after she got divorced. The Kamifukiba plugged to the Rabbi Akiva, the Masnisim, Rabbi Akiva, the Braiso, and Anachnami, and that's what they're arguing about. So the Yesh Oimrim over here could all be in Rabbi Akiva Shito, because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but they're still arguing about how to pay. We all agree, because Rabbi Akiva says you have to pay. The only question is, to whom do you have to pay? So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, there's one Tana that learned Rabbi Akiva that says goes to her, and one Tana says that the money goes back to the father. Okay. Sorry, a few more lines of the Gemara. Amar Abaya. Ba'alea umesa potter. So if there was an Einus umefata, and before he had a chance to go to Bezdin and make it a chiv, she dies, potter, you no longer have to pay the knas. Shenema, because the pasuk says, v'nosen la'avi ha'naira, so you have to pay it to the father of the girl. V'loy la'avi mesa, and once she's dead, he's not the father of the girl anymore. And therefore, you're putter. However, the Gemara says, Milsa de Pshita Leila Abaya. So Abaya just says, that's obvious. You don't have to pay anymore. Miboy Leila Rava. To Rava, this wasn't so simple. This was the question. Deboy Rava. Rava asks, Yesh Bagar Bekever or Ain Bagar Bekever? Does she become a Bagaris in the Kever? Now we're going to have to explain what those words mean. Meaning, we understand that she died. Does her status change to become a Bagaris? Now, we already know from what we started with today that once a girl becomes a Bagaris, once she's over the age of 12 and a half, there is no more Knas. Now, the piece of information that we're missing is, let's say the Oinus Mafata happened while she was still a Naira, but she already turned to Bagaris before she even came to Bezdin. So there, we're about to say that also you don't have to pay the knas anymore. Okay, so the question is, if she dies, the way Rava is phrasing the question is, if she dies, does she mature to become a bagger? Or does she become a din of bagger? That's the question that the Gemara says. Yesh bagger bekever? Does she become what she ultimately would become a bagaris, even after she died? Or ain bagger bekever? As the Gemara now explains, yesh bagger bekever v'divinohave? Does she become a bagaris? And that means the money that goes to her, because she is entitled to the money, but now she matured, it doesn't go to the father anymore. So it would go to her father. To go to her. Idilma ain bagger bekever v'divinohave? Or maybe once she's dead, she'll never become a bagaris, so it continues to go to the father like it always did. Okay, so now I'm just going to stop literally with two words on the top of Lama Tesim and Aleph, but we're going to pick up with this next time because the Gemara now goes through a whole thing. The Gemara asks, right, the words that Rava said is that maybe we say that she becomes a bagaris v'dibinohav, and therefore it goes to her son. So the Gemara, and I'm going to leave off with Akasha. Umima Abro, how could she have a son? How could she possibly become pregnant? She's only 12, right? And remember, everybody agrees that by the age of 12 and a half, the whole world changes. So that means if she had to have a son, she had to have the son before the age of 12 and a half. Because if she's over 12 and a half, fine. So she could be 13 when she has a kid. That's fine. I understand that's very physically possible. But she's already a bagaris, and everybody agrees that the money goes to her. So here we're talking about, when we're asking it as a question, we have to be talking about that she's still under the age of 12 and a half. She's under the age of 12 and a half. How could she possibly be pregnant and have a kid? So we're going to leave it off as a kasha. The Gemara, we're going to pick up Amir Tushem next time.